So yesterday, some of us started the day at 6 a.m. in prayer yesterday. It was awesome. And then we had a preacher's meeting we went to. That was a good time. Good preaching, good fellowship. And then there was still work afterward. And I got a chance to experience visitation on the pickleball court. No, it was serious. It was serious visitation, but I had to play pickleball, you know. So, and I can attest that we won our first game, Dawn and I did. You know, you got to play hard. I won't tell you how many times we lost. But it's a blessing because I think that couple and their family, they're starting to show up on Sunday mornings. That's awesome. So I wish there was some family to say, "Preacher, can you meet my husband on the golf course?" Just got to do what you got to do, you know? All right. Well, you're going to get a kick out of this. So this morning, had a good long day yesterday, and I slept in this morning. I slept in. And lo and behold, the day that I sleep in, I get ready to prepare for this evening's service, because I use Wednesday specifically just to prepare for this service. And the text, you're going to get a kick out of the text. The day that I choose to sleep in, the text is verse 6. And so if you're able to stand. I thought, man, I wouldn't have slept in if I knew it was that text. I would have. All right. So I can say this before I read. The sermon has already preached to me. It's already preached to me. I've been to the altar. I got that cared for. So, all right. Verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" Did any of you parents ever have kids that were sleepers? I used to walk in and I'd say, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." I'd say that to him. Of course, we had one early riser, and she'd just fall asleep early at night. And the other one was a night hawk like me, and she had a tough time getting up. I won't tell you which was which. But Maggie was part of that crowd too. So anyways, verse 8, "Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that," it's actually "traveleth." I know it's easy to pronounce it travaileth, but it's traveleth. "And thy want as an armed man." Father, I pray thee bless our message this evening. May the Spirit of God teach us from this passage. There is so much wisdom here. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to get a read on your will and have a heart to do it. Don't let us feel comfortable in sloth. Stir us up to good works. Amen. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to tackle this initially by answering the question, who is he talking to? The wise man is talking to the sluggard. It's not a term we use a lot today, but it's important to understand actually who this sluggard is, okay? He's not talking about somebody who is sick and sluggardly. Are you with me? He's not talking about somebody who is elderly and doesn't have the energy that they had when they were younger. He's not talking about them. He's talking about somebody who is sluggardly that could work. That's important to understand this. Because I'm fully aware that there are times good, hardworking people get ill, stressed, and you may in your own heart and your conscience feel sluggardly. Well, crying out loud, friend, there is a time the body needs to rest, okay? And we're not going to take that away from anybody, not going to make anybody feel guilty about that. This is talking about the person or the individuals who can work, who can earn, have an income through labor, but they refuse not to do so. The slothful, the lazy, the ungrateful. Now, why are there sluggards of this sort? Why are there? Well, the only way a sluggard can survive, a sluggard of that sort can survive, is if somebody helps them. This is pretty simple, because they got to eat too. Even the sluggard has to eat. And the sluggard has to have something to drink. And the sluggard is looking for a place of comfort. And the only reason there would be this crowd here, obviously, these are people that make their own decisions. But the reality is too often, they can find a place where they can live off the labor of another and be like a parasite. So I'm going to be careful about the next couple things that I say here, and I'm going to preface what I say. I'm not against the welfare system in the sense that it helps people who actually need help. I am against the fact that there are a whole lot of people taking it for granted and using it and abusing it. Are you hearing me? It's a crying shame that you could live in California, and this is an older statistic, but you could live in California and be homeless, and still, with all the perks and benefits of the state there that they offer to you for someone who doesn't work, who can live on the streets, your yearly salary, if you add in all the compensation, health benefits, and Social Security checks that they just give them, averages about $30 an hour, and that's about 20 years old. Well, no wonder they got a homeless epidemic, hello? Why work? You know, most sluggards just need a little motivation. I watched a video, and I had no idea that I watched this about 2 weeks ago. I saw, you know how on your news, your little pop-ups in your news, your phone, you ever browse through those and you see some, what do they call those? Clickbait, I hate to, one got my attention. And there was this small panther going after this sloth. It was a jungle caption. This guy got this picture, this video. And there's this sloth on this vine or limb that's going across this swampy area. And it showed this panther reaching its paw out trying to get it. It was absolutely amazing to see how fast a sloth can move when it gets poked by a panther claw. I mean, it was. And the reality is that the sloth has some big claws. I thought, did that thing just move that fast? And then it's like it got out of the still frame, and all of a sudden, and that cat is still trying to reach over the water, trying to snatch it. And that's amazing. I've never seen a sloth move like that. But all they need is a little motivation. A little motivation. Fear's a good motivator. Hunger's a good motivator. Now, where's this lifestyle going to lead? Look at verse 9 through 11. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. There's another passage in Proverbs, and I cannot point you to the exact reference, but I have great assurance in my heart and conscience that it's in Proverbs. It says, the slothful casteth into a deep sleep. There's something about this behavior that just produces more drowsiness. More drowsiness. Unnecessary drowsiness. It casteth into a deep sleep. So where will this lifestyle lead? Well, a deeper sleep, more drowsiness. Poverty, an empty cupboard, no more provision. No more handouts. Desperation. The word as one that traveleth, that has the idea, and I think I've got this on, that has the idea of an individual who looks here and looks there, can't find what they want because they miss their opportunity. They miss their opportunity. And then it says, as an armed man, want as an armed man. Well, most of the time, an armed man, the implication there is somebody who will resort to threats and force to get what they want, to criminal behavior. So I believe we could safely say that slothfulness will lead to can lead to criminal behavior. Amen. And really, what are criminals? They're people who want gain the easy way, right? You know, eventually, if I wish I had the article. There was a story, it's been a few months ago, of a grown man. He was like a 40-year-old man living at his mother's house, and he'd never moved out. And she was getting on him about going to work, getting a job, and he killed her. I don't know if any of you had heard anything, a story about that. He killed her. Well, what's it say here? Verse 11, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. When the handouts, when eventually the benefactor says, that's enough. That's enough. And hopefully they do it before they turn 40. But eventually you just got to say, man, it's time for you to go to work. I mean, get out of bed and get to work. Cut them off. But the problem is we're in a society where we just enable a lot of people. We really do. And we enable slothfulness, laziness. We just do. So I move on here. So what's the remedy? What's the remedy? Look at verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So this is the remedy. Now let's read this again. Which having no guide, verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So the wise man gives counsel to the sluggard. And by the way, the only one that can really wake the sluggard is the word of God, the voice of God, speaking to the heart, shaking them in deep inside. Because the Lord knows how many mothers or even fathers have tried to wake slothful kids from their slumber and get them moving, and they just couldn't do it. Or a good friend, or a family member. So let's look at these ants for just a moment. The ant has no one to give him guidance but provides. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Look at verse 7. Which having no guide. It says, so the ant doesn't need guidance, but it still provides. Has no guide. Has no overseer. Has no one to inspect his work, but performs. The ant performs. Doesn't need anybody to inspect his work. Unfortunately, a lot of times, people need the boss to come by and see how they're doing. Are you getting anything done? Are you doing the job that you're getting paid to do? That's the case, hello? And so the ant doesn't have that. Has no one to report to, but produces, no ruler. Yet you and I, we have all of them. We have guides. We have people that oversee. If you work for another company, people we have to report to, whether it's your wife or husband. The ant takes advantage of opportunities to get ahead. Notice verse 8, provideth her meat in the summer, not in the winter. takes advantages of the opportunity to produce, to work, to gain. Okay, I'm going to come back to all this. You know, because we understand that we could take that in a literal sense. Yes, you get the harvest before winter and all of that. You need to. That's why farmers, you see them out working hard in September, October, November, clearing the fields. That's harvest time. They don't get to, if storm comes and they don't get to it, well, they missed it. So we understand that. And yet, even in life, ladies and gentlemen, there are seasons of summer and winter in life. You know that? I mean, our lives, if we break our lives up, if we live to a full old age, we have a springtime, we have a summer, a fall, and a winter. And if we make it to winter, boy, we sure are going to hope when we get there that we did something in the summer months. Because, I mean, we're not supposed to count on other people to take care of us. It sure is a blessing when they do. But that's the reality. Raise good kids. That's what you do. So, the ant does not make excuses because of its size or lack of limitations. I got to tell you something, man. I was on that trail over by Menards there earlier this week, going for a little jog and prayer walk and all of that. And I saw this thing, man, just, it looked like a monstrosity of a spider, but it was walking like a crab. I thought, that is weird. So I paused, put the brakes on, and I got up close, and it was an ant pulling a great big daddy long leg. I thought, man, that's a weird look there. You know, I've never seen, and I'm sure I've seen dead ones, but I've never seen a living ant stand still. Maybe I have, but my recollection, when I think of ants, I think, when you think of an ant, you don't think of being idle. Look at that little bugger. He's just standing still, posing for the camera. Ants don't do that. An ant works with what it has. It uses its strength and seems to have quite a bit. Now, this is good counsel for Christians in both, listen to this, this is good counsel for you and I in both worldly and in a spiritual sense. When I say worldly in this, I'm not talking about carnal, but in a worldly and spiritual sense. Let me say this. God won't do for you and I what we can do for ourselves.
Amen.
God has equipped all of his creation, his critters, with the ability to take care of themselves.
Right.
And if he hasn't, then he's put usually a parent. There are individuals there that it's your responsibility to care for them. That's just your God-given responsibility. But for the most part, God has equipped all of us with the ability to take care of ourselves. Now, if we apply this counsel, if we consider the ant, and we learn from the ant, taking advantage of opportunities now to work hard and save and prepare and be diligent with these opportunities, to stir ourselves, to see our mission, in a worldly sense, it'll make you more productive. It'll prepare you for hard times when you're no longer able to earn. You know what? It'll give you a peace of mind to you and your family knowing that you've prepared. It'll give you a sense of self-respect. There's a passage in Proverbs, and I believe it's in chapter 10. It says, in all labor there is profit. All labor, there is profit. By the way, just a side note here. It is astonishing how often people retire and they don't live long after they retire. It's so important that if you retire, if you're able to retire early, that you have things to keep you busy. You have things to keep you moving. Some cases, it's your wife. No, but I mean, it's so important that we do that. Some of you are laughing at me. I know. So it's so important, though, that, hey, praise the Lord, if you get to retire early and now you've got things, I can serve the Lord in a greater capacity. I can accomplish this, this. Have things on your calendar to keep you busy. Keep working. I mean, praise the Lord, I see a lot of seniors working at Walmart. Some of them are there that don't need to be there. They just want to be around people. Just want to be around people. But see, this idea of working hard like that, it gives you a sense of self-respect. And you know what? Staying busy like that, it just flat out keeps us out of trouble. You remember the old adage, idle hands are the what? Devil's workshop. Boy, that's the truth. But before I go on to the next point here, I want to tell you, at our house, probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I went out to the front porch, and I saw this trail of those little tiny ants, little tiny ants. I saw this trail, and our front porch is kind of long. It'd be like from here to that keyboard there, that organ there. And that little trail went all the way from end to end. And I remember looking out at that thing thinking, what on earth? I mean, this is the main highway for these things. And I looked down into the weeds, and I saw them going down into the weeds. And I looked over this direction. I wanted to see where they were going. Are they going up to my house? And they got lost in the mulch. Like, this is incredible. And when I looked real close, I saw two lanes of traffic. I kid you not. There were some going that way, and there were some going this way. Now, I didn't mark them, and they didn't have a sign up, so I couldn't tell if they were going there and coming back. But I talked to John Stone, and John Stone assured me they are going one place and coming back. Apparently, they'd found some type of food source somewhere on the front of our porch into the mulch somewhere. And they were bringing it home. Back and forth. Back and forth. Well, of course, I had to take care of that because they did not ask permission. And since they didn't ask for permission, and I really didn't want them there because they have come into my house before without permission, and that was irritating, I decided to do something. I got a can of Raid or something like that, some ant killer, and I wiped out the whole road. And I stood still to see what would happen, and eventually they stood still as well. I thought, well, good, we cleared out the highway, all is well. I kid you not, 2 weeks later, I saw that same highway starting over again. I mean, they must have cleaned up the debris and everything, and just there they are, one row going that way and another row going this way. One row getting provision and another row they're taking it back home. Boy, I didn't even think about that. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, consider the ant. I have considered the ants. In the worldly sense, but in the spiritual sense. You see, it's possible to be diligent in your secular work, ladies and gentlemen, but a sluggard in your walk with God.
Amen.
I mean, it is possible to be someone who's known for hard work and getting up early and staying up late and making a good income and yet being a sluggard in your walk with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something, that the difference maker in every successful Christian is that we know how to stir ourselves and make a beeline to to where the provision is, where the nectar is, and then take it with us. And every day, go back to where the provision is and take it with us. It's absolutely vital that we know where our source of provision is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the day, our hearts ought to be lifted up to Christ throughout the day. Lord, give me wisdom at work. Give me wisdom with this individual. Give me wisdom with this project. Lord, help me. I need your help. Every day, all day long, there ought to be that line, that spiritual road between you and God that's well traveled. Sunday mornings, it should be obvious that I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to the house of God. I return home, but Sunday, I'm going to the house of God. Wednesday, why? Well, we need fellowship, and the Lord Jesus established this, not me, not any human, not any mortal. The Lord Jesus established the church. Why? For our benefit, for our spiritual welfare, and for His glory. We are fed, nourished. And the reality is there's a lot of lazy Christians who rarely set foot in church, but they're known as hard workers outside the church. Hello? Soul winning. You know, the Lord Jesus made a statement when he was dealing with the woman at the well. This is significant. When he was dealing with the woman at the well, this is John chapter 4. First of all, the disciples went into town to get some provisions, and the Lord Jesus sent them because he had a plan. He speaks to this woman, and he ends up leading her to faith in him. She gets so excited, she drops her water pot and runs back into town and says, "Come see a man who told me everything about me. Is not this the Christ?" While she's in town gathering the crowd, the disciples return, and there he is, and they say, "Lord, aren't you thirsty and hungry?" He said, "No." He said, "I have meat that you don't know about." You know why? Because witnessing for Christ is spiritually nourishing to your faith. A lot of people can read the Bible and praise the Lord, and a lot of people can come to church, but I'm telling you, you're still missing something if you're not witnessing for Christ. If you're unable to get out door to door and all of that stuff, take advantages of the opportunities that arise. Do you go out to eat? Do you go out to play? Do you have leisure? You got a telephone. There's something spiritually nourishing. And by the way, the ants know where to find their food. Consider the ant, thou sluggard. Are you going to starve to death? Consider the ant, thou sluggard. Are you going to become depraved? Consider the ant, thou sluggard. Are you going to sacrifice your integrity, the little integrity that you might have left? You're going to cross the line of no return. Do you know Jeroboam? Jeroboam, who's the first king of the northern portion of Israel. If you don't know him, that's fine. I'm going to tell you the story. So after Solomon, while Solomon was reigning, Jeroboam was known as a man who was industrious. That's what the Bible says. Uses the term industrious. That means he was a hard worker. He was innovative. He knew how to make things happen. He was a shaker and a mover. And he became a threat to Solomon after one of the prophets said, "You're going to be the next king when the kingdom is split." And so what happens when he becomes king? We discover that though he was worldly disciplined and diligent, and he was a hard worker in the secular sense, he was a sluggard in the spiritual sense. How do you know? Look how quick he compromised the faith when he had power to do so. Are you hearing me? But wait a minute, even godly people can become sluggardly and it can affect them. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Where is my Bible? Over here. All right. Scripture pages, scripture pages. I'm getting there. Okay. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. Pause. Is David a king? God wants us to know what's going on here. First thing we notice, David failed in a responsibility. We read on. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And watch this, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed. Hello? I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to read anymore. From that moment, David's spiritual slothfulness would affect him the rest of his life. And I believe David was a man who, for the most part, was diligent in his walk. But he just decided to, I'm going to take it easy. Folks, I'm just telling you, the cost is not worth it. And by the way, beware of trying to live off somebody else's spirituality. Beware of trying to live off somebody else's faith. It didn't work for Lot. It didn't work for Gehazi. It didn't work for Judas. If we personally, individually, do not develop a discipline to move ourselves to the areas God has given to nourish us, we're not just going to become anemic. We're going to go to sleep spiritually. And we'll remain asleep while our lives implode or explode, whatever the case may be. Why? Because I can do nothing without Christ.
Amen.
He said that. Without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
He's the vine, the true vine. I am but a branch. All day long, all week long, there needs to be a road from my heart to the place of spiritual nourishment. That's the most important application of this message. But I will not make light of the fact that good manual labor is good for everybody if you can do it. And it's still right there literally on the front of the text. It's interesting. The ant knew where to get the food. He knew how to get the food. And he got it. And he got it when the opportunities arose. Consider the ant. That's the title. Lord, bless the service. Thank you for the Bible. May the Holy Spirit help us to consider the ant. I'm thankful, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. And I pray, Father, that you'd give us the spiritual nourishment we need to be strengthened to do your will. May you lead and guide us during this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.